Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you would, let's be turning to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And I want to read verses 34. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword. He says here, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. The meaning of this word peace is prosperity, or one, quietness, rest, or set at one again. And when I looked up this word to see exactly what the meaning was, I scrolled down in my eSword program, and it gives you the Thayer definition. And it listed these things under that definition: a state of national tranquility, peace between individuals, individual peace. And I just saw these, and based on our passage, I wanted to use these as my outline as it concerns Jesus Christ and as it concerns peace. It was giving these things, describing what it might mean to have peace at these levels, if you will. Now, our Lord here is telling His disciples, this is the account of when He is sending His disciples out two by two, and He's instructing them into what they will encounter and instructing them on what they should do. He tells them, I'm just going to paraphrase these in the previous verses, but He says, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. Take no money, for everything will be supplied. Shake the dust from your feet as you leave those places that will not hear you. He says He is sending them as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. He tells them they will be taken before councils and they will be beaten. This is all being done as a witness against them. He tells them to take no thought for what they should say, for their words will come from the Holy Spirit. Families will rise up against one another and have one another put to death. They shall be hated of all men, that is, these apostles, these disciples that He's sending out. If you are persecuted in one city, He tells them, go into another. The disciples of the Master do what their Master does. Do not fear men, but fear God. The Father takes care of sparrows. The very hairs on our head are numbered. Whosoever confesses Jesus Christ before men will be confessed by Christ before God the Father. And if you don't, He won't. Then we come to, I am not come to send peace on earth, but a sword. So now let's look at peace as it concerns a peace of national or international, for that matter, peace between individuals and individual peace to one person. We hear at times men talking about peace. We have to work towards peace in the world is what they say. This can be in one country or between countries. I'm not against peace between countries, nor am I against peace in the country in which I live. We're to pray for those over us that we may live peaceable lives. You have men getting together and talking with one another and coming up with peace treaties. Before the ink is dried, they have need of creating a new peace treaty. They have to keep their pen in their pocket because they know it's not going to last. But it is no real peace anyway. Even if they were to get to the point where they were all in agreement and things and could do things together and could live together and help one another and do things for one another, the peace they are seeking is in the wrong place. But it's very doubtful that the whole nation, as well as a nation to nation, will even have any worldly peace. When talking about nations, which are made up of people, you have many different ideas, many different ways of doing things. How can two walk together unless they be agreed, the scripture says. That goes for nations as well as people, because they both involve people. They cannot walk together. All you have is absolute chaos everywhere. And we are seeing that more and more today, and it's only going to get worse. The scripture talks about a day when some will cry, peace and safety. But just when they think they have found peace and found safety, then it will be too late. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." There are some who say they seek for peace, that they will even name the name of Jesus Christ, but they are looking for peace outside of Jesus Christ. Of course, there are those who are involved in these peace-seeking missions that do not know, nor do they care about Jesus Christ. Even those who name the name of Christ, Jesus Christ, do not know Jesus Christ. The reason being, they are missing the one place where peace can be found. But there are some who do this, who will name the name of Jesus Christ all day long, but they seem to not be able to read what the Christ they claim to know and love has said in His Word. Jesus Christ tells us He did not come to send peace on earth. What He did come to send, though, is a sword. The sword of the Spirit, the truth of the gospel. This truth will do nothing but divide. What do we read about nations in Isaiah 40:17? All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing, and vanity. So there is not a nation that is not vanity, that is waste or confusion before the thrice holy God. Now we know this is certainly true between countries or nations. But we don't have to worry about another country not having peace with us. Your enemies will be they of your own household. This leads me to my next point, peace between individuals. In Matthew 10, verses 35 and 36, we read, "For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foes shall be they of his own household." What about peace with our neighbors, or peace with our spouses, or peace with our families? Is there anyone hearing my voice that has experienced nothing but peace with everyone around you? I know some who have a pretty good relationship between each other, but it's not totally without some upheaval or turmoil at some point in time. Some disagreement of some kind, usually very petty things. But peace is to be in unity, or that is, one with another. This is definitely sure, though. If you have a child of God who is holding forth the sword of the Spirit, it will cause upheaval and division. Not only that, it is what Christ came to send forth. If you are holding forth the truth of the gospel and you never encounter any disagreement, then maybe what you are saying is not the gospel at all.
Right.
Now, don't get me wrong. I can be a complete backside and I have been before, and I will be met with opposition. But if you are just trying to set forth the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and you never meet any opposition to salvation by Christ and Christ alone, then you are not preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Because Christ says His gospel will divide.
Right.
As nations, as individuals, we cannot get along because we are all gone out of the way, and we are together become unprofitable. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight.
Yeah.
Isaiah 64:6 says, "But we are all we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Our righteousnesses are iniquities before a thrice holy God. Left in that place, there is no peace at all to be had. We have read in Scripture that God hates all workers of iniquity. Not works, although God Almighty hates those works as well, but this says workers. That is, those who do these works of iniquity, God hates. That's in Psalms 5:5. Iniquity there, the word means vanity or wickedness. It means unjust or unrighteous. We have read previously of what God thinks of nations. They are but vanity. Vanity is wickedness. The reason this is so is because the nations, the neighborhoods, all of them are made up of what? Individuals. So let's look at peace with individuals. What about peace with yourself? I'm talking to believers now. Are you at peace all the time? I'm not. There is a very good reason for this. There is nothing about me by nature that has any peace about it. I cannot be at peace with anyone else because I cannot be at peace with myself. There's a reason for this as well. I have offended God. The Scripture tells us to esteem others better than ourselves. I know we are to do this, but it just seems I cannot do this. Every time I try, it seems self gets in the way. I seem to think too highly of myself. Isaiah 59:8 says, "The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace." This is in the Old Testament, but we have grown no better with time. The New Testament also tells us this very same thing in Romans 3:17. "And the way of peace have they not known." There may be some who think they have found themselves and are at harmony with everything, but they are dreamers. They are liars, because Scripture tells us we do not know the way of peace in and of ourselves. If we are to believe God and we believe what He tells us, we do not know the way of peace. This is me by nature. I cannot blame anyone else for my sin, for my transgression, for my iniquity against God. If you do not believe you have any transgression against God, then you go on then. You have nothing to worry about if you have not offended God. If this is you, then you must be at peace with God. But if you say this, then you're calling God a liar.
Right.
So that means you are not at peace with God. The reason nations cannot have any lasting peace with another nation is simply because nations are made up of people. Neighborhoods are made up of people. It is the individual people who are at enmity with God. And the way of peace they have not known. Not one. We can have no real peace because there is not one that have known the way of peace. So if Christ did not come to send peace on earth but a sword, are we to ever know peace? This leads me to another point. I did not mention this one before, but it's the most important point. The way of peace. If Christ did not come to send peace, then where can we find peace? Here is the thing. He did not come to send peace. He came to make peace.
Amen.
For some.
Amen.
What He came to do was send a sword, something that will divide families. But we must have peace with God, and for sure, God must be at peace with us. The offense we have committed against God deserves His wrath and punishment. We had to have a substitute who would take the full wrath of God in our stead, for those of His whom He chose from before the foundation of the world, those for whom it was said, "He shall save His people from their sins." This is the way of peace, Christ and what Christ has done. If you would, let's turn to Ephesians 2 real quick. Ephesians 2, if you want to follow along. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 and verses 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Jesus Christ made peace with God on his people's behalf. God does not have any wrath towards us, and in fact has never had any wrath toward us because of what Christ shall accomplish and now has accomplished. God is at peace with those for whom he chose. But he does not just leave us there. He came and preached peace. Jesus Christ came and proclaimed himself, the one who is his people's peace with God. He came and preached that gospel of peace of himself. Luke 1:79 says, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. The way of peace is the one who is our peace, because he has made peace with God for us. In giving us his gospel, we then, by his life-giving power and by the Holy Spirit, we are then enabled to hear this sweet sound of peace. In doing this, it gives us peace with God. What does that mean exactly, or what does that look like? We no longer disagree with what God says. We know because of Jesus Christ and what he did that we are at total enmity before God. We know that we have not known the way of peace. And when we get to thinking we know anything, the Lord of peace brings us back around to seeing him who is our peace. Amen. Those times when this flesh seems to win the battle and it seems we are falling into deep, dark despair, thinking, am I a child of God or no? He brings us peace once again by showing us in his word the very peace of our soul. That very storm in our soul, where God has been pleased for us to battle this flesh, and we continually come into this tempest, then Jesus Christ is there to say, peace, be still. He has calmed the storm, and he calms the storm, if you know what I mean. This peace, when he enables you to see it, is a peace that you can see. It's a peace that you can taste. It is a peace you can hear. Listen to that peace for a moment. That peace is a singular thing, and that causes one to rest. For the children of God, the way of peace leads to individual peace. Now, because of this flesh, we will not see this peace completely and fully. But God has promised that he will return one day. In him returning, then we will see him as he is. And then we will know peace in person and in a person. If we die, Scripture says this is to be present with the Lord. If this happens and we are in Christ, then we will know peace in person and in a person. Either way, the goal is the same, to look upon him who is our peace, the one who has made peace. For the child of God, this individual peace leads to peace with the brethren. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12-14 we read, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. I know this is specifically talking about those who are elders, those who are pastors, but we are all to be at peace among ourselves. We can only do this in Jesus Christ, and specifically in the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm thankful for this group. I think, you know, for myself anyway, I think I've been around you all for about 37 years, and I see the same familiar faces. We've been together for a long time. God has been gracious to allow us to be at peace among ourselves. He has enabled us by giving us a love for His gospel. And in doing that, we look for that to be the one and only endeavor that we have here, is to set forth the gospel. I've said this before, but there are some who say, you preach peace, peace, where there is no peace. But they themselves seem to think that what they know is their peace. They say if you say there can be those in an Armenian church who are saved, then if you say that, you are lost, because you are preaching peace, peace, where there is no peace. They get puffed up in what they know, that they will not even listen to what someone's saying. If you say God cannot save someone who is currently in an Armenian church, then you are saying that God could not bring Abram out of the Ur of the Chaldees. If you are saying that God could not, you are saying that God could not bring Saul out of persecuting the church of God and wasting it. I know of several folks, not even in this assembly, who have said they were in an Armenian church. And by Armenian, I mean any church that in some way puts man into the way of salvation in any way. But in this assembly, I know there are some who were attending in an Armenian church, and God brought the gospel to you. I'm not going to apologize for what God does and His purpose. Now, He did not leave them in that place, or He did not leave the Armenians in that place. One of the two. Either God runs you out, or He runs everyone else out. You will not be able to stay and listen to that Armenian doctrine for long. We're not talking about someone who believes that man is in some way a part of the salvation of sinners. If a man believes that they have part in their salvation, they are not saved. We are just talking about there being some in those places who God has given them light. I will preach anyone, to anyone, the peace of God. I will preach to anyone the gospel of peace. Because without that peace, you and I will never know peace. I just like the Apostle Paul who was persecuting the church of God and wasting it, in my own way, I may have not been killing Christians or putting anyone into prison, but I was saying, I will not have this man reign over me. I would murder in my mind those who told me of this peace. I was as all of us are by nature. We are Armenian, all of us, because Scripture says we are all gone out of the way. We have turned everyone unto his own way. That means you have turned to a way of man, and that is Armenianism. You don't start out in the way of God. We all start out in our own way, whether we are in an Armenian church or a Sovereign Grace church. At heart, we all start out as Armenians. I had someone argue with me on this before. He tried to say he has never been an Armenian. But I know what Scripture says. It says we have all turned to our own way. So unless you are bowed down to God you will remain an Armenian, even if you believe the doctrines of grace. Jesus Christ, who is our peace, Scripture says He is, but Jesus Christ, who you are to know, if you are ever to know any peace, I think it might be better to say if He knows you, then you will know the peace of God. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is nothing but chaos. I'm talking about even in individuals. This leads to the family not being at peace, and this leads to nations not being at peace. Without Christ, there is nothing but chaos, no matter how many peace treaties we sign. The fact is, the only peace there is to know that God does not have any wrath against me. The only place you will know this is in Jesus Christ, because He is our peace. And if you would, turn with me last time, 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3, and I want to read beginning in verse 8 through 12. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. It says to seek peace and ensue it. The word ensue means to persecute or given to. If Christ is our peace, and He is, and He made peace, and He did, then we should be given to seeking His face. This we do by His Word. We listen to, we proclaim, we talk about Him whenever we can. What are we told in the Scripture in Ephesians 6, verse 14 and 15? Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That same gospel which He who is peace preached unto us Himself is that one and self-same gospel we preach to others, and we ourselves try to hear. We are to be prepared to tell others. That's what it says there, feet shod, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. If someone wants to hear, if someone asks the question of the hope that lieth in you, then you are to be ready to tell them of this gospel of peace. That gospel being that Jesus Christ is our peace, because He made peace with God for us, having shed His blood on that tree. This causes me in the midst of chaos and turmoil to know peace. It makes it well with my soul. You know, in many of the epistles, the apostles wrote to folks some things, and I would like to leave you with this as they have said. Not in the exact same words, but this is what they said. May the God of peace, the God who is peace, give you grace, mercy, love, and peace until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.